again. One more time, go. Who's that? Who is 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 that? And here he is
to the
What's up, Gordon?
Here, my buddies Matt and Donnie. What's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
Still recovering from my Charles Haley interview. My favorite cowboy of the mid-90s.
I didn't realize that that was your favorite cowboy.
Yeah, for some reason I just really grew attached to Charles Haley when he joined the team. I just thought he was so awesome. I loved watching him play. I loved the way he had those sloped shoulders and just always looked like he was unfazed by anything.
Like the neck roll or
the
whatever
neck
that
roll.
Was.
He just looked cool when he played.
He did.
How nervous were you the first time you decided to walk up to him on a Cowboy Wednesday?
At first, not very nervous at all because I was like, oh, this is my favorite player. He's going to be great to hear from a young fan. And he was not. He was not excited to hear from a young fan.
That's unfortunate.
No. I mean, we never got into a full-blown confrontation or anything. But there'd be times where I would talk to him. You know, I'd have the mic. I would go out there with a live microphone every Wednesday to interview Cowboys during their media avail, which is short for availability.
Thank you. I didn't even know that. Thank you.
That makes sense.
And
yeah, it does.
I wondered that.
I would like be talking to Charles. Hey, Charles, can I ask you a few questions? Just a couple questions, Charles. And he would just ignore me. He would just keep doing whatever he's doing and then just not say anything back. And I would even follow him. I remember one time following him with a microphone, and he just kept walking and just walked back behind the curtained area that I was not allowed.
You weren't allowed to go, yeah. Right.
And just the whole time me talking his ear off and him not saying anything.
It was a trip, the access that you had at Valley Ranch, that you just don't have that anymore as far as the players' availability. Even, I don't know about the baseball clubhouse. It may still be around the same. But Valley Ranch, if they didn't go behind the curtain and they're just there, you could just walk up and say anything. And now you can't do that.
I've always thought it was strange even having that kind of access after a game, whether it's a baseball game or a football game, that we go in the locker room.
It can be strange.
Like when they're changing clothes and coming out of the shower and all this, it's like, this is their time. Why are we even allowed in here?
It feels like you should be able or would have to wait a little longer to go in instead of
at least let them get dressed.
Seeing
because that is
ass
very
out
awkward
players.
Situation
right.
When a grown man is standing in front of you and just refuses to put clothes on.
I mean, it's a locker room, which is basically like a bathroom, like a shower area. And the fact that it's like, okay, not only are we going to allow strangers in during this time, but strangers with cameras. That seems,
I know,
this the most ridiculous idea. Whoever thought that was a good idea? It's wrong.
It'd be like if you the gym anybody would go to normally when you're done working out, you go into the shower and change. Imagine 15 people with cameras and microphones being in there
to ask you about the workout
while you're getting out of the shower.
So when you tried to lift 135 and it got stuck on your chest, what were you thinking?
Well, guys, sorry, towel dropped. Let me get that. Anyway.
Did you ever have anyone, Matt, that you walked up to in a locker room that gave you the cold shoulder?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Who?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
But a couple of people. I mean, there's a couple of people that were notorious for treating media poorly that I think would do that. And then I remember one time, and this was on me because I was trying to get Rangers audio, and this was back when Wash was the coach, and I was getting stuff from his press conference, but Adrian Beltre had a big hit in that game, and I needed to get something from him. They were packing their bags trying to get out, and it was obvious that Beltre had already talked to like the little gaggle, and I was like, Adrian, I'm sorry, I was in there with Wash. Is there any way I could ask you a couple of questions? And he goes, one. And I think it was like, okay, so you're up there at the plate, and it was like a walk-off or something. I forget what I asked him, and he just goes, whatever his answer was, it was a one-word answer, yes. And then he just put his head back down. I was like, okay, awesome.
Yeah.
But he was always a great guy.
Baseball players were usually the worst.
Some of them were.
At talking to.
Michael Young was great.
I had high hopes of speaking with Vladimir Guerrero when he was with the Angels. And I waited all afternoon. He walked in. Like, do you have a... No. And I turned around, walked out of the clubhouse, walked to my car, drove off, and went home. I didn't even talk to anyone else. Well, and it just hurt my feelings so badly.
Some of them that you needed to talk to.
No.
Like Josh Hamilton would do this sometimes when he would have a big game. He'd just, is Josh coming out? Because he's getting treatment. And you'd be sitting there for like 45 minutes like, man, I want to go home. Hoping he'd come out. And then he'd come out and maybe speak for 10 seconds. And be like, all right, guys. Like, well, why didn't you just tell us to begin with?
I think the one person who was extremely nice that I was almost disappointed that he was very nice was basketball. It was Dwayne Wade. And as much as I want to hate him because of what happened with 2006 in the Mavs, he was cool as a fan. Had a little one-on-one and spoke with him. I was like, God, like I really want to hate this guy still. But I couldn't because he was accommodating as a media member.
At some point, if I ever get organized, I'll try to grab some of my old interviews with players in locker rooms. Some of them, oddly enough, would be really...
Yeah.
I would ask one weird question at first, and then they'd get kind of interested in whatever it is I was trying to do. And then they would really open up and be funny. But, yeah, a lot of them, you'd go up and they just wanted nothing to do with anybody with a microphone.
Do you think it was the big names or the lesser-known guys I always thought were more willing to talk and open and...
Sure. Sure. The lesser known guys were always the most willing to talk because they didn't have people bugging them all the time, which was great. But, you know, now I think that, and I don't know, the sports culture seems to have changed somewhat. We were commenting on this at training camp this past year in Oxnard, is that players seem different now than they were in the 90s. Players are a lot nicer, more down to earth, regular people to me
now
than they were back then. It's like the culture has changed a little bit to where back then it was like that was the code of conduct was you got to be a D to the media, you got to be a jerk to the media. And now you'll talk to some of these young guys on the Cowboys and they just, you know, they also seem a lot smarter, more interesting. They take school more seriously, I think.
And maybe they have high hopes of being in that media also.
Maybe maybe so.
So if they're going to treat them right because they want to do that exact same thing, I don't know.
They grew up a lot more, too, with cameras like they're talking to their phones, recording videos.
Right,
themselves
that's true. That's
sharing
true.
That with their friends and all that type of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. They just seem to be a lot more friendly. These days than they were back in the day.
We used to try and set up the one-on-ones at times when I was working with Bob and Dan. We would call it the Papado's hot plate or something like that, the Papado's platter or whatever. And you get with the PR person and try to get those one-on-ones. And one time we wanted to try and talk to Kawhi Leonard. And the dude from San Antonio said, you don't want that.
Was Kawhi a real big guy? Was Kawhi Leonard a big guy?
Like... In stature or the name?
Who am I thinking of? There was some Leonard who was a big guy.
Sugar Ray?
Leonard Davis for the Cowboys?
That's what I'm thinking
of. Okay.
He was massive.
Different sport.
And he was huge. He said, we can try and set it up, but you don't want that. It's like, well, I mean, why not? And he's like, trust me. So we wound up speaking with Brian Scalabrine. But it was great. Lesser known guy, not really asked to talk to a lot, had to one-on-one him for about 15 minutes, and he was great. But I could imagine now trying to talk to Kawhi Leonard and asking him a minute-long question. He'll go, yep, and then that'll be it.
Yeah, cool. So,
do you remember fake Leonard Davis we used to do? Cowboys?
No, I don't remember. What did it sound like?
It was a different time.
Okay.
It was a different time. We'd pitch him down so low. I mean, it was basically John Coffey, but pitched down John Coffey from Green Mile.
He's still to this day is
really big,
just absolutely really large.
It does. He'd always marvelous like with his feats of strength that he'd be talking about.
Like what? What did he do?
He'd get pissed off and throw a cow at a drink machine.
Coffey, John Coffey. You know, that's why I lost the chest waxing bet. Thinking that what's the actor's Michael Clark Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he was 6'8" or 6'9", and Corbin's like, there's no way he's tiny. I was like, Green Mile, he was huge.
Is he not?
No.
I thought he was really tall.
No, he was like 6'4" or something like that. Right, you know. So that's when I lost the strip of chest hair at the compound. I think that may have been my first compound.
That's why you were so willing to get your hair ripped out by its roots.
I don't care. I thought I was,
this is great.
Let's go. You do it.
I mean, he was 6'5", so not far. Like 6'7", 6'8", is not
like
a crazy guess.
I thought like 6'9", because he was so big in Green Mile.
He was.
They had to escort him through the hallways. He had to bend down and stuff. It's huge.
How did they do that then? If he wasn't that tall, I don't get it.
Everyone else is so tiny. Everyone's tiny in Hollywood. So everyone.
Did they put lidocaine on you or anything like that before they ripped your hair out?
No.
Did you bleed?
A little bit.
Ugh.
I don't want to bleed.
I want to get rid of all body hair.
That would be fun.
Like from like your top total, of your head down?
But the total voluntary alopecia.
But the worst thing about it, though, is it growing back. Like you have to continuously do it because when it grows back, man, that is...
It's itchy?
Yeah, that hurts. Especially with the, you know, the black man disease.
What's the black man disease? Well, ingrown hairs. Yeah.
That's why I don't shave with a razor on my face.
Well, you got to be particular about what kind of razor that you use. Because, I mean, ingrown hairs are even a problem for people who are not black.
Oh, we can't have anything, can we?
No, you can't. No, I'm not going to let you guys claim ingrown hairs.
Sorry.
But one of the problems is you got to use a safety razor.
What is that?
The old school, you put a razor blade inside a razor. It's like what they used up until they came out with cartridge razors.
Wait a minute. A razor blade inside of a razor?
Yeah, like there's a razor holder, and you buy a pack of 5 or 6 blades, not the cartridge blades.
Okay.
Right? And you put it in there, and then you screw it down, and then you shave with it.
Like
it's one
cutter?
Single blade.
Like that type of thing? Like a box cutter looking thing?
It's similar to that, yes.
Weird.
Yeah, it's what the men shaved with for forever. It's called a safety razor. Very old school technology, but there's a whole community of us out there that still do the old style shaving.
Community, huh?
A different kind of community, yes.
Gosh.
I'm not going to let you take the term community from me.
Amazing.
But you ought to use that because you won't get ingrown hairs. The problem with the cartridge razors and them having 3 blades or 4 blades
right.
or up to 5 blades now.
Or 15. Let's get one with 15 blades.
Is it cuts the hair off below the surface of the skin.
But that's how you get the smooth shave.
Correct. But you can get a very smooth shave that will last one day. Which will be fine for you, and never have an ingrown hair again. It's awesome.
But then you have to shave every day.
True.
Who wants to do that?
You don't have to.
True. I mean, you could grow some, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, put up the signal.
I want to bring you a safety razor.
Oh, it's I would safe. Like.
Would you use one if
sure.
I brought you one?
I absolutely would. Because I've never heard of it or seen it. So, yes.
Okay. All right.
And then I try it.
All right.
And then when my face is burning and itching and all that.
It's kind of awesome.
How often do you have ingrown hairs on your neck? How often do you have ingrown hairs on your neck?
I don't shave it with a razor, none.
What do you?
Just the clippers.
Really?
Yeah. I've never shaved my face with a razor.
Huh.
Ever. Wow. Mike Gordon.
Way to drop that bomb at the end of the interview.